everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, I'm very hungry after our previous...
our little pre-banter.
Talking about Christmas cookies and divinity.
Yes.
Peanut brittle and all that good stuff.
It is that time of year, for sure. Man, so
I love it.
I'm curious how many of our listeners have ever heard of divinity. Like, most people have heard of fudge. They've heard of Christmas cookies of all kinds.
I know.
But you and I were just wondering, like, is divinity, like, is that like a Georgia thing?
Yeah, I think it's probably a geographic thing, and it's probably an age thing. So
yeah, is it like a 70s, 80s Georgia thing? Southeast? I don't know. Because my mom used to make it, try to make it every other weekend.
Yeah.
But it is so sensitive to... Yeah. Humidity and other things that it's hard to make. I remember she was always like cussing about the way it came out. Like it's one of my childhood memories. Sometimes it must be like,
I do think it's a Georgia thing. Cause I don't know too many people outside of Georgia. You talk to people around here. Nope.
So I'm curious. So, you know, if you're listening, you know, you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on Facebook, leave us a comment and see if like, is divinity a thing outside of Georgia? Like, seriously curious. And is it kind of over and done with? Do we need to bring it? Like, what's the twist we need to bring back to make it popular again? Yeah, you know, maybe we need to do something on Pinterest, you know, since we're going to kind of go in Pinterest direction today.
That's right. We'll be talking about Pinterest. Some predictions for the upcoming year by
Pinterest predictions.
Which... Amazingly, from reading that, they were pretty accurate on 2021. So we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Because you eat your cookie. Dang it.
So I'm eating Christmas cookies. Mm. Yeah. So this is the, for those watching, I've got the, can't remember the name of these, but you know, it's kind of the gingery peanut butter. And then it's got the
Reese's. Pull that thing right out of the middle and just eat it on its own.
I finish off the bag that's not used in the cookie for sure.
Yeah.
The Reese's miniatures or the Hershey Kiss miniatures for sure.
Every now and then I'll just kind of unwedge that thing and just,
you know, yeah, that works too. And you know, or do you eat around it? Do you go straight towards it?
Different. Like, there's all
strategies.
There's
kind of like Oreos.
Exactly.
You know, there's different strategies for it. All right. Well, since we're talking about food and beverages, mostly food, but, tis the season for stouts and porters and all things kind of rich and, you know, decadent.
Yes.
We're coming off another show where we both had pretty strong high gravity beers.
Yes.
Several glasses. Mm-hmm. So this show should be very interesting for those listening.
Should be.
So what do we have? All right. Well, I guess I'll go first. Cause this is, I'm going to share my screen here. Share screen for those.
Now, this is a big deal if you're sharing your screen.
All right. So this is one of my kind of go-to, and I love sharing this brand because pretty much anybody in the country can get these. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of times what I share is kind of Texas-based and it's local, so our listeners can't really participate.
Right.
But this is Brooklyn Brewery, which is, you know, it's out of New York. And they're nationwide. They're in like Total Wine. They're in a lot of places. But this was a new one I had not seen from Brooklyn Brewery. And it's called Brooklyn Black Ops. Ooh. And based on our last episode with Greg Johnson and the Seven Deadly Sins of Story-Based Marketing.
Right.
He was having whiskey. You were having a bourbon-based, you know, the whatever that was.
Goose Creek.
Yeah, Goose Creek, bourbon barrel, whatever. That's a lot of words. So this is a stout aged in Four Roses small batch bourbon barrels. Mm-hmm. So kind of along the same lines. It's called Brooklyn Black Ops. This is a limited release. It says, the rumors are true. Brooklyn Black Ops is real and it is delicious. Mm. This vintage of Black Ops was aged in Four Roses small batch bourbon barrels to call forth big chocolate and coffee notes and a rich, mellow underpinning of vanilla-like oak. It's a legend in the glass. Gotta like that.
I love that. That's what's so great about this time of year is all these limited, you know,
The limited
spring
edition
and
stuff.
Summer, you rarely see the limited editions. You see a lot of limited editions around this time of year.
Have you had the Four Roses bourbon? Mm-mm. Good stuff.
It is.
Good stuff. Good.
I'll have to try that.
So it's definitely got it. The Four Roses, like, it really lends to its name. It does have a little bit of a flowery thing to it, mm-hmm. but in a good way.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to try this. I have not tried it yet. And this is a small batch edition. I have pre-poured it for our last episode to try to let it breathe for a couple minutes before I try it.
Yeah.
So before I do, before I indulge, mm-hmm. what do you have on your side?
All right. So today I have a, so I'm stepping down a little. Last one, as we mentioned, I had a Goose Creek 14% ABV bourbon barrel. This one, I have a Bell's Christmas Ale. But like yourself, I think last week you had a Scotch Ale. This week I'm having a Scotch Ale. So
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, a Christmas Scotch Ale.
A Christmas Scotch Ale. So this is a traditional Scotch Ale. This is, it's, is rich and malty with notes of caramel and a warm finish, certain to make any occasion festive or at least a bit more bearable. Enjoy with company and friends and family. It is 7.5% ABV. It's a little higher than I thought, so should be interesting. I love these. I'm like you around this time. I love the... you know, my second outside of the, you know, the porters and the stouts, I really love the ales and some mm-hmm. of these, some the of seasonal these Scotch ales. Some of these seasonal ales are really good. So, we shall see on this one.
So, I don't know if I said, but this was 12.4. So, I'm staying at 12 across two episodes.
There you go.
This is a taller can.
Okay.
So,
hold that up one more time. Let's see it. Let's see it one more time. The good.
Brooklyn Black Ops. So I told my wife I was going to be eating one of her cookies on the show. She's like, I was like, you know, it's tough to eat on the show because you don't want to crunch in people's mouths. She's like, well, what about that whole like ASMR thing? And I was like, good point. So I'm going to, I just. I do not get that whole trend.
You know, I miss the days of us being in the same town where you could bring some of these goodies over. And,
I know, right? We could
partake together. Yeah,
I now get, with shipping costs, I've got to spend like $35 to send you some cookies.
That's right. That's right. It's insane.
But I will do that.
Inflation.
You have to send me a new address, though.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So today we're going to be doing like a flight of persuasion. We'll taste these in just a second, but just to tease the episode, since we're 11 minutes in, we probably should have done that before. We will be talking about Pinterest trends, but we've got a few other things, how to get on podcasts.
Oh yeah.
I've got a copywriting method from our friends over at Copy Legend. I'm pretty sure that's where we got it from. So, and then you've got a couple, I think you might have something to contribute,
how to get people's attention, how to get people's attention, continue to shut the door in your face, how to get their attention.
Yes. With a physical device, a little physical comedy.
That's right.
I like it.
That's right.
All right. So, all right. Well, I've already poured mine. Have you poured yours?
Yes, I have. Got it all right here.
Well, let's cheers it up.
Cheers.
Oh my, that is different. Mm.
Different. Different.
Different in like a good way. Mm-hmm. Like it's, the cookie may have influenced it, I have to say.
Got to wash that palate, man.
Mm-hmm.
And cleanse your palate.
Wow. Okay. This is interesting.
Uh-oh.
You got to try this. You got to try this.
All right, hand it over.
This is a stout aged in four roses, small batch bourbon barrel. This is the most bourbon tasting stout I've ever had.
Wow.
Like you can actually taste, I've never tasted anything like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
This is, and it's like good. It's like good. Like it's, but it's totally different than any of the bourbon barrel stouts. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't nearly like the cost of some of the bourbon barrel stouts either. I mean, this was.
Hold up the can again. I'm writing this down.
Yeah. So this is the Brooklyn Black Ops. You may have to request a special order at the establishment or have to go into Total Wine. I got it at HEB, so I don't know.
I bet it's at Total Wine.
Probably at Total Wine. But this is the most unique tasting style I've ever tasted.
Okay, well,
and not in a bad way.
No, I mean that's saying a lot considering how many we've tried. Okay, so I got to hear.
So it's got a little bit of like sour to it, but not in a bad way. Just enough to kind of be different and unique. Man, I'm trying to decide: is this worthy of the number?
Man,
ooh, that's a safe, man, we're that's so a close. Safe
number.
I know, like
not everybody gets that. So far, we've had about, out of 230-something episodes, yeah. I think we've had maybe five
pint. We had a streak there for a while, you know?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know if we were getting lazy or what, but...
Probably.
I tell you, I'm going to have to give this a five. I'm going to have to give it a five for the uniqueness and the... It just... It's good. It's really good. Beautiful. And it's really unique. And it's just like, yeah, got to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Another five.
I'm going to have to go get some more of these.
Well, I've written it down. I'm checking out Total Wine for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It actually almost has, which is weird because it's in bourbon barrels, but it almost has like a red wine taste to it.
Mm.
That's what it kind of tastes like. I'll be curious what you think. So
we're huge fans of the bourbon barrel wines. I mean, that's Rachel's one of her favorites. That's her go-to. So I might have to.
Yeah, she might even like this as a beer. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what you got on your side?
All right. So I'm going to give it's good. But it doesn't just wow me. So I'm going to give it a, I'm going to give it a 4-1. 4-1. Okay. It's still good. Solid. It's delicious, but there's nothing special about it that I can just, say, this is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
But 4-1 solid.
Yes.
I love Scotch ales. So this is one that you could, this is a six pack. This is one that you could get and, just really enjoy over the holidays with a group of people.
Yeah.
But it's
Scotch ales are dangerous because they're drinkable, mm-hmm. but they're still pretty strong.
Yeah.
It's like you can't just pound Russian Imperial Stouts.
No.
But you can a Scotch ale.
Yeah. Yeah. This is at 7.5. If you knock back two or three of these, you'll
start to feel it.
Yeah. But I, for as just a drinking, just a drinking ale with friends and family over the holidays, I think it's a good one. Yeah. Again, that is Bales Christmas Ale, and it's like a limited release. So I would encourage people to check it out.
Agreed.
For sure. Along with the
Brooklyn Black Ops.
The Black Ops, which I'm going to be all picking right. up this coming week.
For yeah. Sure. And I'm sure one of the stores around you has it. If like mm-hmm. I said, local establishment.
Oh, I'll look for it. Trust me, because
that's a pretty. I know. What is it? Fresh Market there in Farragut.
Yep.
They carry Brooklyn, so they might have it too. If you don't find it at Total okay. Wine, that's the first place I ever tasted Brooklyn.
Okay.
Brooklyn Brewery is a solid brewery. Like just. Across the board, everything I've had from them has been high quality. So pretty good for some Yankees.
Way to go, Brooklyn.
Way to go, Brooklyn. Good job.
You have gained many accolades on Persuasion by the Pint. So
absolutely. All right, well, let's get into our flight of persuasion. We've got a couple of different things to cover. What do we want to start with today, Jonathan?
Why don't we start with Pinterest?
We can do podcast pitches. We can do Pinterest. All right, let's do Pinterest.
Yeah, Pinterest. So you sent me a link on predictions for the upcoming year, which I found interesting. You know, I didn't know Pinterest even did this.
Yeah.
But they were amazingly accurate on 2021.
Yes.
So what do they have to say about 2022?
Well, let me share my screen so I can kind of just read along. But get our little inception going, then change the tab.
Ah.
All right. So Pinterest, somebody else actually posted this in a group I'm in and says, before you see it everywhere, see it here. So this is actually from Pinterest Business, so business.pinterest.com. Mm-hmm. And it says, people use Pinterest to plan for the future, which I never really thought of it like that, but they do, right?
I didn't know they used it for that, but that's good to know.
Yeah, but you know, you create boards. So if you're designing a house or you're wanting to do things, you kind of...
Furniture, yeah. Yeah, remodeling,
a tattoo,
all that stuff,
like whatever you want. Like you kind of... This is what you're planning on doing. That's what Pinterest boards are really for, is you're planning on creating something and these are your inspiration pieces. So it does make sense. I just never really thought of it like that.
Right.
And it says, that means we know what's next. We know what people are planning. And in fact, 8 out of 10 of our predictions for 2021 came true. And so this isn't another year-end report, which we'll probably do some of here on the show, but this is a not yet trending report. I love, like, just that alone is a whole marketing lesson in itself, the way they positioned their report as a, this is not a year end report. This is what's coming report. Right. You know, it's like, and we've got data, we've got all this other stuff. I thought that was a really good marketing lesson in and of itself.
Right.
So they have all these different, and I gotta be honest, I don't even know some of this stuff means. So like, I don't know what dopamine dressing is.
Is that a salad dressing? Is that
it might be like a salad dressing that makes you feel really good. But,
maybe I should request dopamine.
I'm a blue cheese guy myself, but I can respect the ranch. You know, it goes with a lot of things, but I do like blue cheese.
I'll have a house salad with a little dopamine dressing on the side.
Yeah, maybe. And I don't know what horology is. Like I feel totally old.
Yeah.
Going through this.
A couple of 50
goth. I kind of know what goth is.
Heck yeah.
Architecture seems like pet related. I can get that up. Batter.
Oh, wait. Where did I miss the goth?
Goth is right here.
Oh, my God. Oh, goth. I thought you said golf. You know where my mind is.
No.
I
was like, oh, man. Where's the golf? Not goth. Goth. I'll take it. Whatever it is. Well, cut a straw off my game. I'll take it. Rebel cuts. So we're talking about haircuts, relationships, nailscapes. And I have two women in my house that are all about getting their nails done every couple weeks. And I'm like, the money you guys spend on that is just ridiculous. But it's a big thing. Hotter wheels. I'm not sure exactly what that is. I mean, I had Hot Wheels when I was growing up. Hot Wheels. Hey, so let me ask you, Hot Wheels or Matchbox?
I always went with the Hot Wheels.
Same. Yeah,
Matchbox was kind of a like a tier two type thing. Yeah,
exactly. Like, right. The wheels just weren't as smooth. Didn't roll as smooth.
Yeah,
just a little cheaper.
Like second tier. You know, you were the end if you had the Hot Wheels.
Exactly.
So
all right, we're on the same page there.
Yep. Emotion. I'm looking at escape rooms.
That's the one that really caught my attention. I was like, okay, so we've had these man caves. We've had all these other kind of terms, but I thought emotional escape rooms, while sounding a little snowflakey, it still caught my attention, you know, because I kind of like, you know,
especially
do my morning
with the
routine.
The little strobe.
Yeah, I was like, okay,
it's
let's
like
check that out.
So, blast from the past. You're talking a little, a little Saturday Night Fever. Going there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised mindful menstruation didn't catch your attention.
That would not.
That was not you. Check yourself, alt bashes. So these are like, I guess, bashes that are not your typical bashes, like weddings and other things. And then we've got cup of time. So this is like tea, I guess. Maybe they're trying to bring back tea. I didn't go through all these, but we're going to go through a few. Hellenistic revival.
Okay,
I just see like this Caesar bust. So I don't know what's going on there.
So real quick, just for our listeners, basically what they have done is categorize all topics related to, you know, I guess they're segmenting what people are, you know, creating picture, you know, picture groups around.
Boards, I think they're called.
Picture boards. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So they're creating all these boards. So classrooms, luxury, eating, higher frequencies, resorts, don't quit your yay job.
What does that mean?
And they're being kind of punny on some of these, you know, and puns are tough because like they can go the wrong way pretty quick.
Yep.
But the one I dove into just as an example, I wanted to kind of check out was the emotional escape room that kind of caught my attention.
Yes.
Makes me feel a little bit
Bee Gees,
like snowflake.
Little Bee Gees, a little Saturday Night Fever.
Some crystals going on, a journal, you know. So here's what's interesting. If you go to business.pinterest.com /predicts, or not quite, but look up Pinterest predictions 2022 on Google and you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Here's what I thought was cool in the way you could use this as a marketer. So they kind of know what people are saving and therefore what could be trending in 2022. Mm-hmm. And right now, the things that are trending are rage rooms. So my 21-year-old daughter just went to her first rage room a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Interesting enough, she
that's
went
not an
hunting.
Angry room. That's a.
That's a place where literally. Have you ever been to a rage? I haven't, but
I have not.
I know about, but literally, you go in and it's they like give you a sledgehammer and you start smashing stuff.
Gotcha. Cool.
You know, so if you don't have a house to demo, if you're not a house flipper. Mm-hmm. This is the next best thing.
Okay.
You know, all the HGTV shows start out with demo. Mm-hmm. Rage Room is just like a paid version of a demo.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, that'd be a good market. Like contractors that are flipping houses could charge people to come do the demo for them. That's how you combine the two.
Yep.
Good. Music themed rooms. You know, this, I think this was a thing back in the 60s, 70s where people had like listening rooms.
Sure.
Music themed rooms are coming back. Mm-hmm. A crystal room where people can kind of go and, you know, unite with the universe and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Tiny libraries or reading nooks, and then home massages.
Home massage. Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, right.
190%, you know, Rachel just ordered one of these home massage, the one of these do it yourself. I call it a jackhammer, but I tell you that thing is amazing. You know,
like the Theragun type thing.
Oh yeah, like the Theragun. Yep. Yeah, it's kind of an off version of the Theragun that she got.
Yeah,
and
Theragun's like Kleenex. It's like the name brand.
Yep.
But yeah, we have one too. Yeah, it's amazing. Like it really
love it.
It's like foam rolling, but much easier.
It's amazing. That thing will like you jackhammer your spine, you'll be good to go.
Absolutely. So this, you go through here and it kind of tells you what's going on. Mm-hmm. But then this was the section that really caught my attention. And this is like how to bring this trend to life.
Okay.
And they say, okay, if you're a home brand, how do you take this idea of emotional escape rooms and use it for marketing and doing your stuff? And it says use collection ads to show people how to create restorative spaces in their home, complete with cozy furniture, crystal inspired accents, and makeshift massage beds. Mm-hmm. If you're a well-being brand, you know, make sure they're there when you search for self-care.
Yeah.
Inspire them to create their own at-home sanctuary, oil diffusers, massage tables, candles, all these kind of things. If you're tech, maybe you sell them lighting, sound, all those things that are there to help create the mood. You know, and even if you're an information brand, you could probably tap into some of these things like best ways to meditate and all those kind of things. Sure. So you can go through this. And I think it's really interesting because, you know, we always talk about how do you, did it stick?
Stick.
All right. What are you seeing on your screen? Because I'm just seeing the same
the
window.
Matrix,
I don't know what to do. Like, let me remove. There we go.
There you go.
So I think you can use this to, lost my train of thought there. Hey, can we take a timeout?
No.
I gotta tell you,
I think I know where you're going.
Yes.
You can use it to kind of create your own, I don't know. I mean, from my perspective, you could create a lot of content around a lot of these topics. Depending on what your niche is, if I were somebody in the home decorating, like I know Rachel's into like interior decorating, that's like actually good information for her. I mean, she could hone in on that and say, you know, that's a huge topic of people that want their kind of their own space off to the side for, you know, their escape room. And, escape room is different for everybody. So what's your escape room? You know, for some people it's music. For nerds like us, it's like a reading room where we can just kind of isolate ourselves and read a lot of old copywriting books or history books or whatever, you know, who knows.
But exactly. All right. I got to take a time out, Jonathan. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I
will take it from here. If I could pull it up again, there are some interesting topics. You know, I find it interesting, all of these different things that people are researching. It's basically a big data mind pool that, you know, all of these social media platforms are really just, pulling up all kinds of information. But it's great for marketers. You've got a lot of, you know, segmented type of marketing information that you can tap into. So while Sean's gone, I'm going to mention a couple of things on my end. Oh, he's back.
Woo!
Had to take a little relief.
Man, bio elimination break.
So I'm going to mention, I was about to jump into my little segment because I was going to transition while you were gone. But these, I picked up some of these. So if you're in sales.
Where did you find those?
So I picked these up at a Target, but then, you know, they only had so many of the Target. Then I went online on Amazon, and you can get these like crazy on Amazon. So
for those not viewing, what is these?
So these are originated with the easy button at Staples. You know, you press the easy button. But on these, I love this. This is the no button. So if you have like, in my case, you know, I'm in industrial sales and marketing. So you always get people that are never, you know, move the needle when it comes to making a decision. You know, you reach out to them time and time again, and there's like no response whatsoever. Or there's like, you know, they're always putting you off for whatever reason. So
I think the kids call it ghosting.
Ghosting. Yes, ghosting. They have ghosted me. So my answer to ghosting is I have a direct response package that goes out to these ghosters. It's a no button. It says, just say no. So I don't know if you can hear this, but it says you can pick these up on, like, I would say the easiest way is to pick these up on Amazon. Don't go looking for these. Just do a quick search on no button. What's cool is if you get on Amazon.com, you can find a no button. You can find all sorts of little clever sayings with these little buttons, you know, depending on what you want to do. My strategy is always to send out a no button because people who don't respond to me obviously are telling me no for a reason. So I like to send them a no button. And this is what it says.
No. No. No.
There you go.
This is my last word. No.
So there you go. It's my last word. No. So they can hit this. So what I send this out with a little letter and said, you don't have to tell me no anymore, or you don't have to not respond anymore. You can simply push this button every time you hear from me. And I send it with a little clever note and a Christmas card around this time for all of those clients or customers. No, well, not clients or customers, for all of those prospects who haven't made a decision. And this is a great way to, we always talk about a pattern interruption and persuasion and influence. Yeah. So you got to do something really different to interrupt the whole pattern of things, you know, simply reaching out to people and saying, hey, just following up with you again. People are not going to respond to you, but you got to do something different. And I'm recommending that anybody in sales or marketing that's trying to reach out to people who, maybe it's people who are, they have the potential to be a huge client and you're just trying to get their response. You're trying to elicit some kind of response out of them to move forward, because I would say 80% of the time, you're going to get some response. It may not be always the greatest response, but what you're trying to do is you're trying to get some response just so you can open up a dialogue and communication with them.
What I like about this, and there's tons of them on Amazon, as you can see. But what I like about this is basically it is self-deprecating humor.
Exactly. Right? Don't take yourself serious. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like, look, I know... I know you get hundreds of salespeople every month in here. And I'd probably, if I was you and I was writing that letter, I'd probably add a line about, hey, put this on your desk. And the next time a salesperson comes in, you can just press the button. You don't have to talk, you know? So now it's a tool they can use that you've given them.
Exactly.
And every time they see it on their desk, they're going to think of you.
Yep.
And the fact that you're not so needy that you're not willing to make fun of yourself.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really, really powerful.
It is. It is.
So
because they start looking at you in a different way. And quite frankly, you enter the conversation by breaking up the pattern of thinking, you know, like,
and the other thing is they're going to put it on their desk.
Oh, no doubt.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then when somebody else comes in from the organization.
Yep.
And I know you call on you call on pretty higher ups because you're trying to get the decision makers and things that. And those people tend to hang out with each other, interact with each other. So somebody's going to come into the purchasing manager's office or whoever. And we're like, oh, what's that? Oh, yeah, check this out. And they press it.
Yep.
And then they tell the story about this guy named Jonathan who sent this to you.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, that seems pretty cool. Maybe you should talk to him. Yeah, maybe I should, so that's the kind of little conversations that can happen, but you stay out on their desk when everybody else is just, all they're doing is sending follow-up emails or voicemails.
Yep.
And you're actually physically represented there on their desk.
Yep.
And that's a really powerful place to be.
No doubt. So if you're wanting to, if you're trying to get ideas like this, there's two books I would recommend, Sean. Mm-hmm. And one is somewhat newer. The first one I would recommend is The Ultimate Sales Machine,
Chet Holmes. Is it Chet Holmes?
Chet Holmes. There you go.
Yes.
All right. So that's originally, that's one of those reference books on my shelf that I go to every year. The Ultimate Sales Machine. Fantastic book. He talks about stuff like this originally. That's where many years ago, I got the idea for doing stuff like this in my sales, sales and marketing system. Yep, there you go. The Ultimate Sales Machine. And unfortunately, Chet Holmes passed away several years ago, but I think his wife or daughter has taken over the business since. But just a really good book. And the other book that I would tie into that is... two books, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone, is the other book. Those two books go hand in hand, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone. And, I think we mentioned that maybe in a time or two there you go. Yes. By Stu, Heineck, man, I would love to, I'm going to try to reach out to him, see if we can have him on the show. Cause he does a lot of he's kind of an artist. I think he's a cartoonist for the New Yorker, but he uses a lot of, instead of like these easy buttons, he sends a lot of, tailored cartoons out to, prospects, people that he would like to do business with to get their attention. So, the bottom line is anything you can do to get people's attention to really, capture their attention so you can get a meeting with them is ultimately what especially if you're, if you're in sales, if you're, self-employed, who's, maybe a copywriter doing running your own marketing business and you're trying to reach out to some pretty influential clients.
Yep.
This is the way to do it. So.
Is it Chet Holmes that had the Dream 100 list? Was that Chet Holmes?
Yeah, absolutely. He did.
And Russell Brunson's kind of picked that up. Yep. And, Yeah, that book, The Ultimate Sales Machine, is if you're looking to grow your business quickly, whether you're a freelancer, salesperson, whatever it is, that is a really that should be one of the top books in your library for sure.
It's one of my all-time favorites. So
let's, before we move off of this subject, you know, those buttons that I was looking looking on Amazon there, they're like 12, 13 bucks a piece. Mm-hmm. So talk about the economics of that, at least for you, and how that works. Because some people would be like, ooh, I don't know if I can spend 12 bucks and then I got to ship it and then I got to do all this other stuff. Right. Of course, if you ship it straight from Amazon, if you know their address,
exactly,
you can save a little money.
Well, and it all depends on the prospect level you're dealing with. You know, when I talk about sending these little, you know, $12 to $15 buttons out, I'm dealing with potential prospects that could generate, you know, $100,000 sales volume a year. So, you know, you got to know what your
commission of 10, 20%, whatever.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, then, so, and these are residual sales. So all I have to do is land a, you know, prospect or a customer one time, and that makes up for it. But even, I mean, you know, obviously you've got to run the economics. You're not doing this if you're selling, you know, obviously if you're, you know, selling books or 1995 courses or ebooks or anything like that. But, you know, if you're doing high end things, and it's mostly, I would say if you're mostly selling to B2B is where this really is beneficial, you know, not so much B2C. If you're selling to other companies, these are amazing ways to get the attention.
Or if, like, you know, we talk about, like, if you have a dream 100 list and you're willing to invest for the long term, let's say, you're an author, you're a coach, you're whatever, and you have 100, like, you want to get on, maybe there's 100 podcasts you want to get on.
Sure.
Cause you know, if you could get on those 100 podcasts, like, it would totally change everything.
Yeah.
If you could get on 10 of the 100, it would totally change everything for you. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're willing to say, okay, I know that if I were to get on Joe Rogan's podcast, probably going to blow me up, you know, or Tim Ferriss or whoever's that equivalent in your niche, you might be willing to do stuff like this over the course of 6 months, a year, 3 years,
to
finally wear them down and be like, okay,
all right, what are you,
this guy sent me some funny stuff. He's like, you know,
yeah,
I've got like six trinkets on my desk that are all from this guy. Like, I'm going to give him a shot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really how it works. It's like, you kind of wear them down and they kind of see you as somebody who's persistent, consistent.
Sure.
And they're like, okay, I'm going to give this guy a shot. And how many stories have we heard like that? I think that's even like Oprah Winfrey's story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, she literally was like, stood in the like back alley exit of like some producer's, you know, show and like said, hey, I'm your next big star, basically, or something like that. And I think there's people that did the same thing to Oprah, just to get on her show, you know, and you may not be able to show up physically, although you could. This is the next best thing to showing up physically.
Absolutely.
And not getting a restraining order, you know.
You know, and just, I've, you know, the whole point is to get their attention. And
exactly.
And that's ultimately what you're trying to do. And this has worked. So, I wouldn't be continuing to use this if it didn't work for me for years. I could share some of the examples, but, you know, one of the things I've done in the past or years ago, and I may have shared this, but, you know, I landed a huge corporate client years ago with simply taking a screenshot of a trade journal that they were featured on. And, you know, I just captured that screenshot, put it on a card using, you know, Send Out Cards, which is a, you know, I've used that software for years, you know, took that image, put it on a greeting card, you know, put a personal message in there that said, you know, congratulations, you know, for being featured, your company being featured in this trade magazine. You know, I know it's a huge accomplishment. And, you know, sent that to the president of the company. Mm-hmm. And I tell the story time and time again. When I went in, this was a few weeks after I had sent it. I actually got the meeting with him. When I went into his office, sitting on his desk, you know, was that card, you know, just standing. Yep. He had it standing up. He didn't have it just laying flat. He had it standing up. you know, mm-hmm. showing off, you know, because on the front cover was the magazine cover that was featuring his company, you know, yep. In the trade magazine. So he was proud of that. Right. Yeah. And so it was all about, you know, just focusing in and tuning in to what's in it for them. Hey, I appealed to their own, you know, pride, you know, their own success, you know, what they were, you know, they were so proud of that. They were, I mean, that was a huge accomplishment for them to be on the front cover.
And it shows you're paying attention.
Absolutely.
It shows you're doing your research. That's right. It shows a lot of, there's a lot of nuance there.
Yep.
They're like, oh, this guy's following me. He's doing some research. He took the time to put something in the mail.
Yep.
Like all this stuff that whether they recognize it consciously or subconsciously, right. you're feeding their ego. There's so much happening.
Oh, yeah.
When you do something like that, that it just.
Yeah.
They can't even defend against it. Mm-mm. Like their brain is like, oh, this guy's cool.
The fact that you're recognizing their accomplishments and you're paying that much attention. And you've invested that much energy into it, you know, obviously, yep. you know, the moral of the story is I got the business, right? I mean,
there you go.
You know, but here's the key. I went into a meeting that I had already laid the groundwork for success, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't go into the meeting not knowing I had already laid the groundwork. The guy knew who I was. He right. was, you know, obviously.
That's why you got the appointment.
That's why I got the appointment. So.
And you can do similar things. There's ways to do this at scale too, mm-hmm. not just, you know, your dream 100 or your dream 50 sure. or whatever.
Right.
But there's ways you can tweak this if you just use a little imagination.
Absolutely.
At scale mainly for your higher ticket products, it's a little mm-hmm. tougher if you want to, you know, if you're trying to sell a $27 widget, it may not work.
Yep.
But if you really stop and think about it, there's probably some principles mm-hmm. in here that you could sure. you could use even for a smaller thing.
Yep.
But really, these are higher ticket strategies.
Yeah.
Where if somebody, but once yeah. they're on your radar as a prospect, mm-hmm. you know, you can then
oh yeah
send them some stuff, send them some articles, send them whatever, yep. and really get their attention. Because people, you know, it's basic. It's ego 101. Like
bingo.
Yeah. When people notice that you notice them, mm-hmm.
they loved it. You know what, like what we said many times before, they love to hear the sound of their own voice or they love to hear the uh-huh. sound of their own company.
Yeah.
They're proud of
that.
That's
what social media is, right?
Yep.
I mean, social media is just like, show me you like me.
Yep. Exactly. Right.
Show me you're following me. Show me mm-hmm. that you're interested in me.
Right.
You know? By right. double tapping or hitting a like button or whatever, mm-hmm. you're just doing this in a more physical, more outward
Absolutely.
Gesture. And it can be really, really powerful.
And doing something like this, sending something unique like this, that kind of yeah. like, whoa, you know, it shows them what it shows your prospect. It shows anyone that you're targeting as a client that you've invested the time and the energy to be, you know,
and even
to tailor
money.
Your message to them.
Like they know that, mm-hmm. like intuitively, they know that, that costs money to
it
send
does.
That, put in an envelope,
if
FedEx
it, feels
it, whatever.
Like it costs money. Yeah.
And time and energy and creativity. Yep. So when they get that, they're like, oh, mm-hmm. like even if it doesn't register consciously, there's a subconscious element. Yep. It's like, wow, this guy took the time to put this in a, go shop for this, mm-hmm. put it in a FedEx envelope, send it out to me, write a letter with it.
Yep.
If he's willing to take that much care just to get my business, how much
yep.
how much care is he willing to take to keep
Absolutely.
My business?
Yep.
And that's the assumption you want him to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like the, one last example is the mortgage company when we bought our house this past year sends us a little pizza. What do you call it? A pizza peel, you know, the little wooden peel that you put your pizza in when you put it in the oven, but yeah. they had etched it, you know, laser engraved the Taylor family, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Custom made after we, you know, this was after, obviously after the sale.
Right.
But just, you know, that little thing, they sent it FedEx in a box, you know, carefully yep. packaged to our attention. We open it and it's like this, it's cool. This cool little peel, you know, for pizza with our name engraved on it. I mean, that's cool. That's memorable. you know.
So. Right, and that's the thing. It's top of mind.
Top of mind every time.
So anytime somebody in your family, your friends, your network says, man, I'm thinking about buying a house, you're going to be like, oh, check out these guys for
yep.
your mortgage.
These guys, yep.
And it's a referral game. It's a mm-hmm. long-term game. My wife did this when she was in real estate in yep. Knoxville. Mm-hmm. She bought a set, or not a set, but like these Cutco knives. And if you're familiar with Cutco knives, they're not cheap.
Oh, yeah. High quality.
And they're engraved, you know, with her name and her number. And then like a congratulations on your new home.
That's a great knives, gift, by the way. I mean, that's a great after.
Yeah. A closing gift.
I would have loved to have her as an agent. I mean, that's a fabulous gift.
I mean, and the reason she did that was because when I was, I mean, I'm 50 now. Mm-hmm. When I was 19 or 20, yep. I sold Cutco knives.
Oh, yeah. High quality.
And to this day, I still have my demo set mm-hmm. of those knives still work and outcut anything else I have.
Absolutely.
So when she was looking for gifts, I was like, well, do a Cutco knife because mm-hmm. these things last forever.
Oh,
like, they're going to be in their drawer forever. And they're going to have your name.
We've had
it. Even though we've moved out of state, things like that, like mm-hmm. it's still like people, every time they use that knife, mm-hmm. you know, that's the go-to knife in the drawer. Yeah. Everybody has like go-to knife in the drawer. And every time they use it, they see her name.
Oh yeah.
Bingo. You know? Every time. So stuff like that, like
association it's a long-term with quality game. Too. I mean, that's another thing. Associating your name with something that's, you know, real quality.
Yeah.
So
perfect. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's cover one more thing.
Yep.
I want to talk about the 330-330 method.
Okay.
So let me just add this real quick. So the 330-330 method. I don't know if this is showing up. So my side monitors are vertical instead of mm-hmm. horizontal, so they don't show up super well on this.
Yeah.
Stuff. But here's the basic idea. And I thought this was brilliant when I saw it. And I'm pretty sure it's from our friends over at Copy Legend, mm-hmm. Matt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't say his last name, Bockenstedt or something like that.
He's got a difficult last name.
We'll just call him Matty B. He's like in a boys band or something.
Matt
like
at
that.
Copy Legend. There you go.
Yeah. Matt at Copy Legends. Matty B at Copy Legends. I'm pretty sure he sent this out in like his warm up sequence or things like that. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really good because you've heard of, you know, if you've been following the show, you've heard of PAS, you know, mm-hmm. problem, agitate, solution. You've heard of AIDA,
yep.
you know, which I can't even remember what that is right now.
Attention, interest,
desire, action.
There you go.
Whew, man, we're three beers in, man. It's tough. but I thought this was like a good, this is a little bit different perspective instead of what you're writing. It's like the time required.
Right.
So he says in the first 3 seconds, what you really need is this for me? Mm-hmm. Is it specific enough that I say yes to continue reading?
Yep.
So you've got 3 seconds to really catch their attention and be like, okay, is this for me? And like, I love the fact that like one of the best questions to be asking as you're writing, Greg talked about this a little bit on the last episode, like, am I the person that would buy a product or read an email like this?
Right. Right.
Is this my world? Are these my people?
Yep.
So if you get 3 seconds, then they'll give you another 30. Mm-hmm. So the next 30 is, does it solve a problem I have right now? Does it acknowledge, and I apologize for the, it's not super clear resolution because I took a screenshot of this, acknowledge intense, urgent, and valuable. Yeah. Like, is this something that's pertinent to me in my life right now?
Okay.
Right. So I think as Greg said on the last episode, I don't want this to be like sluggish. Like, am I bored by this or mm-hmm. whatever else? So if you can get 3 seconds, then you can get the next 30 seconds.
Okay.
If you can win that next 30 seconds of copy and storytelling or whatever you're doing, then you'll earn another 3 minutes. Mm. So that's a big jump right there from 33 seconds to 3 minutes.
Yep.
And in that next 3 minutes, you have to say, hey, you have to get the reader to say, hey, has this solved a problem for others like me? So let's say I was talking about weight loss or whatever. This is where you need to drop some testimonials, some third-party proof, some scientific studies or whatever, that your method is going to help them when nothing else has. Right? So now you're 3 minutes and 33 seconds in. If you can get them to stay for those 3 minute and 30 seconds, they'll give you another 30 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And this is kind of where BSLs and long form sales letters, those kind of things do their job, is if you can hook them for three, you'll get them for 30 more seconds. If you can hook them for that 33 seconds, you'll get them for three more minutes.
Yep.
If you can get the 3 minutes and 33 seconds, then you've got 30 minutes to lay out your case. I love it. And in that 30 minutes, you can then lay out your arguments. Will this help me solve this faster, better, cheaper than something I've tried in the past? And I just thought that was a really cool way, instead of like PAS or AIDA or anything else, to kind of think of it. You know, when you go back and edit your copy or you edit your presentation, you know, to use a time-based metric as opposed to this more of a idea-based metric, to actually think of this in a time-based measurement. And, you know, you see this on sites like Medium, where they say this is a four-minute read or this is a three-minute read.
Right.
Because people are busy. So they want to know how long this is. Now, you're not going to tell them how long this takes.
Right.
But if you can capture their attention for 3 seconds, then you earn 30. If you can capture for 33 seconds, then you can capture 3 minutes. If you can capture for 333, then you can capture 30.
Yep.
So I think that's a really good metric to use. And the way you can use this, and I've done this when I write copy for clients, is I will hand my copy to a friend, a colleague, my wife, my daughter, whoever. I'll hand them a printed copy of the copy.
Yep.
And I'll say, go ahead and read this. And I'll watch them read it. And I'll see where you can see physically kind of where they check out.
Yeah, that's good.
And they're kind of, and now they're kind of like reading, like, okay, Sean asked me to read this, I'm going to read it. But you can kind of see the energy shift where they lose attention. You're like, oh. And you can follow along with your own printed out copy and be like, okay, this is where they checked out. And you can go forward there, and you can kind of,
great idea,
you know, beef it up at that point. Put a statistic in, put a case study in, put a story in or something like that to kind of help them move along. So that's the three, but that's the 3:30, 3:30 method. And again, I'm pretty sure the credit goes to Matt over at copylegends.com, which I think we both bought lots of stuff from.
Love his swipe files. Yeah.
So good stuff. We featured some of his swipe files. Is that what they're called? Swipe files?
Swipe
files.
Swipe. Yes. Swipe and swipe.
Yeah, Slipe files.
Worth just getting on his email list, because he sends out some really, you know, even if you haven't bought from him, he sends out some really good stuff on a regular basis. So,
and the way he we'll have to try to get him on the show, but
love to.
The way he, even after through for the emails, the landing pages he sends you to, he kind of requires you to keep clicking through so that he can measure how deep you're going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Into any given response before the offer is actually made.
Right.
Like, you have to click through a couple pages to get to the actual offer, which is really smart, because you can tell how far people are getting in the process.
Sure.
So yeah, maybe we'll see. I know he just had a huge Black Friday push with a bunch of other people.
Yeah. I'll have to reach out to him.
Yeah. See if he can give some insights on that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, good, so that's stuff. All I've got.
So next week, just to, I guess, kind of preview next week.
I don't even know where this is going. This is, oh yeah, that's what we talked about.
So based on talking to our buddy David Dutton this week. He was going through this book. He's like, mm-hmm. man, this is really good. So it's $100 million or 100M, which I assume is 100 million, right?
Yeah.
100 million offers. How to make offers so good people feel stupid saying no. So we're going to go through some of this next week on, what is Alex Harmozy, who lives in your neck of the woods, right,
Sean? He does. He lives in the next town over. Yep. Yep. He lives in the next most expensive town over, actually. So, so and the guy I used to work for, Ryan Moran,
yep.
capitalism.com, he and Alex are buddies. Mm-hmm. I've never met Alex.
Yep.
I'll throw out a Hail Mary and see if we can get him on, but why not? I wouldn't count on it.
Why not? Just tell him we're going to feature his book regardless. So
yeah. We'll get you an extra two sales on Absolutely. Your book. And if he says no, we'll send him a button.
We'll send him a no button. That's right. Yeah. I won't hesitate to send him a no button.
But yeah, there's some really cool stuff in the book. Mm-hmm. As I went through the book, I don't want to give too much away, but at the beginning it felt, you know, if you've been in this world, you've listened to this podcast, it may sound kind of the same old, but as you go through the book, some of his distinctions and the nuances that he talks about
right.
are very interesting to consider. And yeah. this is a guy who under 30 years old, I mean, from nothing built a $100 million empire. I mean, so fast, it'll make your head spin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's doing a lot of stuff right. You know, maybe it's just the mustache. I don't know.
Could be.
Oh, we'll talk about that next week.
Sounds good.
We'll have a picture of his mustache. Maybe I'll shave my beard and just have a mustache just for the show. My wife would kill me.
I like it.
My wife would kill me if I did that.
So next week we'll be talking packaging. We'll be talking $100 million offers. And so stay tuned. And we'll see you guys next week. You can find us on persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast platforms, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're everywhere. And except for Alex Harmozy, whatever that guy's name is, exists. Yeah. But we'll get him on the show. Trust me. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.